Oh, yeah, so my bucket list, I'm going to the moon, everyone. Right. My travel buddy Alan's going to probably go with me, I'm sure. So we're going to go to the moon, we're going to go to Mars.
There we go.
All right, thank you. Right. Thank you. Oh, this is my favorite one. Did you know that China is developing a train that's going to go from Beijing to London? It's going to go 200 miles per hour, and it's going to stop in 17 different countries.
Wow.
No, really. Look it up. It's happening right now. That's on my bucket list. I don't know about you. Can you imagine stopping in 17 different countries on a bullet train? I think I'll go from London to China, though, instead of that long flight. So we are here to express our full potential, and that's what's happening on the universal level. If it's happening on the universal level, that means it can happen on the individualized level, right? So whatever, we're past getting our basic needs met, okay? That was yesterday. We're here, right here and right now. When your body, mind, and spirit are all fulfilled, there's something within you that's really wanting to express itself in a bigger way. You're wanting to become self-actualized. You're wanting to express your full potential in the world. You're wanting to give your gifts. And this is exactly what the rose does. It blossoms to its full potential, and it gives its smell of that beautiful rose scent. One of my favorite individuals in this world was Steve Jobs. He really came here to push us forward. I have an iPhone, an iPad, I've got my Mac computer. Everything is I. This is the I world, right? All because of this genius. When he was a young man, he read a book called The Autobiography of a Yogi. And he went with his hippie friends to India, and he meditated, and he tapped into the universal mind through meditation. And he came back to America, and he changed the world through becoming self-actualized. Matter of fact, at his funeral, he gave everyone, give everyone the book, The Autobiography of a Yogi. And his last words was, to become self-actualized. So it's just you don't have to invent something big, but you, when you express your fullest potential in the world, and it's a desire, it's a really a true desire that you love, what happens is you assist the evolutionary wheel to turn by doing so. So Ernest Holmes calls this a divine urge. He says, the inner desire to express life, the desire to do and accomplish more, to be more completely happy, prosperous, and well, is right. It is part of that eternally progressive spirit of unfoldment, and we should surrender the entire situation to the working of intelligence. Yes, with the conviction that intelligence will use us as a perfect channel. So we are here to use infinite intelligence to move through us. You know what's nice about that? Is we don't have to do it ourselves. When you're co-creating with spirit, and there's something that you want to express in the world, you can do this by tapping into the infinite intelligence. Does anyone like Ellen? Oh my God, I love Ellen. So I was at my mom's house in Phoenix, and me and my mother and my stepdad were watching Ellen. And this was an amazing story. She was telling us a story about a young man and his fiancée, and they were at the Santa Monica Beach. You might have seen this day after Christmas. And they were frolicking around in the water, and he was showing off to his fiancée and doing backflips and front flips and playing, and all of a sudden, he doesn't come up, and then she sees his floating body, and they rush him to the hospital. He broke his neck. And basically, the doctor said, you will never, ever walk again. Now, in his mind, that wasn't going to be the truth. He was going to walk again, and he was going to walk his bride down that aisle, right? So he had a team of 10 people, and they worked with him diligently, and he had a strong will, and infinite intelligence was working in his life, and he succeeded, and he married his bride, and he walked again. So Ellen had, I don't know if you guys ever seen this guy, Aquaman? Okay, I've never seen him, but he looks like a romance novel. Hot man, okay? So Aquaman takes this couple, and he wants to take them to the scene of the crime, the scene of the accident, because they haven't been back there because it's a sore feeling when they go back there. He wants to change that feeling for them. Takes them back to the scene, and he gives them a gift box from Ellen. In the gift box was a trip around the world. Anywhere they wanted to go, all over, not just one or two spots, just around the world, and a check for $100,000. So this changed how they felt about that scene of the crime, right? Then she had them on the TV show, and all the 8-10 people that helped them train him to walk again, to see that, you know, vision that he had for his life, she gave them a trip to Hawaii. Ellen. My God, I want to be Ellen. So they all went to Hawaii, and his message to the world was, when you have a vision, when you have a goal, when you have an intention, make sure it's impossible. Yeah, that is an amazing, not based on the conditions of what's happening in your life. In the story Alice in Wonderland, Alice tells the queen, "I don't believe in anything that is impossible." And the queen says, "I dare say, Alice, you don't have practice. Why, sometimes I believe in as many 6 possible things before breakfast." So, I think I put this in the wrong place. Life changes all the time. You know what I mean? We might lose somebody in our life, or you might have a career that was going really well, and all of a sudden the job changes, you know, there's a shelf life there, or maybe your kids are no longer at home and you're an empty nester. Between health and job and people and personalities and relationships, life is going to change, right? Yeah, we know that. So how do we find, like all of a sudden you're like 50 years old, and you're like, oh my God, I got a clean slate, what am I going to do with myself? How do you find what you love to do? Because I know for myself, well, I came into the world and I already knew what I was going to do. I knew. And that's the first way. You just do what you love and everything will follow. You know, I didn't have the training, I didn't have the money, I didn't have the opportunities, and I'm just going to love what I want to do and everything will just unfold. That's one way. Well, so what's another way? So now when that job was taken away, I had to think of, I'll never find anything again that I love. Oh my God, this is terrible. Okay, God, you can take me. It's okay, I'm finished. So, but then I found something, and it's called, you spot it, you got it. You wake up, and you say, okay, I'm looking for something I really love. I want to give my gifts and the talents to the world. And I might have to train myself, and that's okay. But what can I do that will really drive my soul, right? So you go around life, you're kind of expecting for something to happen, something to hit you. All of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I don't know how to do that, but if I did, I'd be really, really good at that. I could do that. And so when it hits, you know. So the first time I walked into a religious science center and I saw the minister, I thought, you know, and I kept on going back and back. I think I can do that. But it took 10 years to groom my consciousness. 10 years of training and Toastmasters and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It took a long time, but it's not about getting to the end result, right? It's about the journey along the way. So find something that drives your heart and move towards it and enjoy the journey and allow spirit to open all the paths for you. And there's one more way that I discovered through myself and also through a friend of how you can find what drives you. Matter of fact, I had a friend who was a CSL musician, and he has a musician's salary, and he wanted to buy a home. He had savings, so he did a lot of homework on where to buy a home. He wanted to be close to LA, but not too close, so he could afford it. He wanted a yard, all this stuff. So he searched and searched and searched himself for a house. Finally, he found the perfect home. He called a realtor, and he said, "Put an offer on that house for me." They put an offer, they closed. The realtor looked at him and said, "You know, you would be a really good realtor." And he's like, "Nah, not me. No way. I'm creative. That's not who I am. You'd be really, really good." So a year later, he went back to that. He goes, I wonder if I would be a good realtor. So he decided to go to real estate school, and he is a successful realtor. He knocks on people's doors, and you know, he's kind of a charming, you know, not charming. He's kind of, he's just sweet. You know his soul is sweet. You know he's not gonna, you know, mess you up, or you know, you could trust this person. And so he became a successful realtor because somebody else saw his light. So when people say to you, you know, you'd be really good at, don't just brush it off. Give it some thought. So a vision, like a creating a vision that is worth living, what does that include? A vision that is worth living should include giving your God-given talents and gifts. And when even if you your talents are not honed yet. You know what I mean? I think I'd be a really good guitarist as long as I practice. Even if you have to spend years and years practicing, you know that if it drives your heart, that this is your God-given gifts and talents that you can give to the world. Father, I pray that every day we have the opportunity to serve someone. You know this is a vision worth having when you can serve others in the world. A vision worth having is the magic of being a part of something that is greater than you. You know you're a part of something that is so much bigger than you are when you have a vision that is worth living. A vision that is worth living should include the law of expansion. That you're always expanding and growing on a regular basis because this is what feeds you. This is what feeds your soul. This is what drives your life. Carl Jung says, your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. When you look outside, you dream, and when you look inside, you awaken. Here's a piece of music called 433 by John Cage. In the 1950s, he had a concert in Woodstock. And he was a pianist, musician. He went to the piano. He pulled up the keyboard. He set his music. That was the music he wrote, by the way. And he set his timer for 2 minutes and 33 seconds. He closed the keyboard, and he brought his attention to the present moment. And he sat there for 2 minutes and 33 seconds. And then he lifted the keyboard, he reset his timer for another couple minutes, and he brought his attention to the present moment. He could hear the pattering of the rain on the roof. He could hear the uneasiness of the audience. He could hear the wind, and he could hear people walking out because they were frustrated. Yeah. But every single day of his life, he played this music for 4 minutes and 33 seconds. He brought his attention to the present moment because it is in that present moment of silence that we allow that infinite intelligence to move through us in our life and to speak with us so we can co-create a reality that is bigger than our thinking. Sometimes we just have to train ourselves to live in a gap, giving space for spirit to come in and have its way with us. Matter of fact, Brian Martin, who is an executive creative entrepreneur, which creative is the creative law, right? He was a young man, 28 years old, and he developed devices for brain surgery when you have a blood clot. But it was only like 80% correct. So 20% of the patients, it would be fatal for them if they had the surgery. And he was driving home from work one day. He was a young man, and he was praise singing. He was singing his God songs. He drives into the driveway, and all of a sudden, a video is downloaded into his mind. And the video shows him exactly how to adjust the instrument so that it's 100% successful. Not only did this video come into his mind once, but it came into his mind 3 times. He went back to his team the next day and he told them of the changes they were going to make in the instruments. And they were so excited. They were like, how did this happen? And he told them the story, how he was kind of like in that gap. And Spirit came in, or God came in and downloaded this video. He sold the business for $100 million. But it wasn't about the money that he sold the business for. It's about the people and the lives that he had saved and he had changed. It's not about one person dying on that table. It's about the lives it affects around that one person also, correct? And so he said, God is here, not just, God is here for everyone. God is here to work through people to affect the whole human race. Another way to set change, which I loved your song about the, is it clutter, did you say, or the, yeah.
Check it.
Okay, so the life-changing magic of tidying up by Marie Kondo. Who has a book? Oh my God, that's right. This book is moving through the world like wildfire. The life-changing magic of tidying up by Marie Kondo. The reason why, if you see the picture up front, see all the clothes on the bed? She asks you to take all the clothes in your house and put them on the bed, right? Just throw them on the bed. Now, you take one piece of clothing and you ask yourself a question, take it to your heart. Does this bring me joy? Does this bring me happiness? Do I love this? If you do, you put it in the I love it pile. If you don't, you put it in the chuck it pile. So the whole thing is you're not focusing on what you need to get rid of. Oh, I got to clear my house. I got to get rid of all this stuff. No, you're only focusing on what you love. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, after doing this over and over again, 100 times, you have 100 pieces of clothing. You're only focusing on what you love. Your subconscious mind is, I can only keep in my life what I love. Your life begins to change. The people in your life change. Your job changes. Everything changes in your life because you're only focusing on what you love and only keeping what you love. So you're planting seeds of love into the universal mind. You see what I'm saying? Let's go back to Mr. Steve Jobs. This is what he says. Everybody's time is limited. Don't waste your time trying to live somebody else's life. The noise from someone else's voice, make sure it does not cover or overturn your inner voice. What is most important is that you need to have courage to follow your mind and intuition. You already know what your mind and intuition want. Everything outside of this is secondary. We all need lots of powerful long-range goals to help us pass the short-term obstacles. No, really. When there's something in your life that you love, like, oh my God, I love this so much. I mean, people, personalities, obstacles, situations are going to occur and they're going to drive us crazy. But when your focus is not, your main focus is not on the obstacle, it's on the vision. It's, I can get through this. You know, I can get through. I can't tell you how many obstacles and people and personalities, situations I've gone through when I was dancing for 20 years. It didn't matter. My love was the gift that I was given to the world. It does not matter, even in ministry. My love is the gift that I'm giving to people. And the gift, you know, so this becomes your drive. The obstacles are not going to drive you anymore. It's not the politicians that are going to drive you. It's going to be what you love in the world that will drive you. So as you know, many of you know, last year was like, oh my God, the most amazing year of my life. Not only did I go to the Sea of Galilee and become baptized, but I also went to the India and I dipped in the Ganges with a beautiful family of people. I just want to let you know that I didn't plant that seed last year or in 2018. I planted that seed in 1979. You know how many years it took? Of loving and feeding and nurturing that seed and loving and feeding and nurturing that seed. And that soil had to be right. And I had to have the money to do that. And I had to have the time. I had to have the consciousness too. Because I was no longer a wounded Christian by the time I went to the Holy Lands. I love Jesus and I love Buddha. I love Krishna. I love all of them. Let me tell you, I am a religious liberal. But it took time for me. I am. It took time for me to groom my consciousness and everything to come into play. So, remember, this is the thing itself. We have seed, soil, plant. What it is that you want to drop into your field of freedom. And when you drop that in it and you love it, and you talk about it, and you read about it, and you feed it, and you learn about it, and you nurture it, you protect it, you don't let anyone beat it up or take it away from you. It becomes a reality. So, there's a girl or lady named Gail Matthews from Dominican University, Dr. Gail, and she did a test, you know, of what happens to people when they write down their goals and what happens to people when they don't. And I found this really interesting. So she gathered people from all walks of life, like 300 different people. And this side, write down their goals. This side, they don't. And the people that wrote down their goals, 50% chance that they will come into fruition. Okay, well, we know that. We heard that, blah, blah. So why? This was the interesting part. Why was that? She said, because the right brain is the creative side. The right brain is always going to dream about what we want to do with our life and how we can become self-actualized and what could possibly happen in our life. But the left brain is the logical side. So when we bring the right brain and the left brain together, there's these neurons, these fibers that connect the two brains together. And then there's a liquid in the brain that moves down the spine, and it moves into your body, into your bones, into your cell, into your organs, and it moves into your subconscious mind, and you become the embodiment of what you want to put out into the world. So if there's a piece of paper underneath your chair right now, okay? There's a piece of paper. And I want you to have this experience of just writing down six impossible things before breakfast. And just write down, it can be impossible, it can be short term, it can be long term, but she said the key is, and you go ahead and write while I talk, the key is to do this for 7 days. So now you have the basis of what you want to write down. 7 days in a row, write down your goals, your intentions, your visions. So what happens, they become clearer and clearer. And they begin to change. And something bigger starts to happen. Now it is embedded in the subconscious mind of what you would like to see in the world. Now, I can no longer make goals for 40 years from now because I will be infinite bliss by then. I think I'll be 100 or so. So write down your goals for the next 5, 10 years that you feel you want to express in the world. My mom's like, well, I don't have a bucket list. I don't want to go anywhere. She goes, why wouldn't I open up another business online? Okay, do that. So, you know, whatever it is, simple, small, big, it has to sing to your heart and you have to love it. That's the whole key. You have to love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And when you love that, you experience that in the world. So I just want to tell you one little thing about manifesting in the world. This chapter thing itself does not tell you, and through life experience I have found out. So you have to know what is your job and what's God's job. Your job is to love that seed, to feed that seed, to nurture that seed. Your job is not to figure out when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And this is what we get tripped up. We think that we have to control when and the how. I mean, God grant me patience, but hurry. So, no, do you know what I'm saying? So just know that you have to let go, give up control. Just think, surrender, Dorothy. When you think, surrender, Dorothy, this is what I want. This is what I'm focused on. This is what I love. And just allow God to do the rest, right? There was something else I wanted to say about manifesting. I think that was it. But, so anyways, your job is to love it, feed it, and to nurture it. So I would like you to plant your seeds of freedom for the next 10 years. Because in the thing itself, it says, the seeds of freedom must be planted into the innermost being of every man. Because like the prodigal son, you are here to discover yourself. So be happy, be free, express yourself to its peak potential in 2020 and 2030. It was my joy to be with you today. Thank you.